Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and we're coming to you live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. We're going to talk today about what happens when our loved one dies and how we can perhaps work things out even after they've left us. Too often, you know, someone we love dies, could be unexpected, or it could be just a difficult relationship. We're left feeling that we still have issues to be resolved, and those issues could even be big ones. They can pollute our memories of our dead loved ones, and frankly, living the rest of our lives that way can be very painful. Of course, unfortunately, as we know, those we used to think were dead are not dead at all, and they still love us. They love us now more than they ever did. And from their much better perspective, and with their better access to their whole eternal minds, often they're desperate to give us comfort and to heal whatever was broken. So luckily for you and for me, if we have people in that position and we're wishing that we could do something about it, helping us to heal relationships that were left unfinished when a loved one transitioned is the special expertise of our guest today. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, Radio's Dr. Love, is here with her beautiful husband who's now in spirit, the famous former Jesuit priest Jean Pain. Now, she and Jean have developed ways that they can help anyone to heal relationships that otherwise, might never have been able to be healed. And frankly, I just love these two. I think of them as a team because whenever I see Jamie Turndorf, Jean is always there and he's got a heck of a sense of humor and I really enjoy them both. But as you're going to find, you really can make peace. You can restore those loving relationships, even with people that we used to think were dead. Jamie always comes with Jean. It's a package deal. Now he feels to me, I never knew him in life, as if he's an old and dear friend. And we're going to welcome Jamie and Jean. Welcome, Jamie and Jean. I'm so glad you're both here.
Hi. So great to be with you. He says, very nice to see you, Roberta.
I should just say by way of introduction, Jamie and I, although we live in different parts of the country, occasionally we'll be in places close enough that we can get together and share a meal. And they're always three at the table. So it's gotten to the point where we mainly laugh through every meal. It's really wonderful. Mm-hmm. Such a pick-me-up. Mm-hmm. So talk, Jamie, a little bit about how you met Jean. Because there was a big difference in ages, right?
Yeah. So I'll give like a little brief, bit of our eternal love story. So when I was a young girl, I had a premonition of the guy I was going to marry. I saw his face. I saw his body. So, Roberta, I just said, I'm not going to date. I'll wait till this guy appears. Very medieval. I didn't date. Yes. I waited. Right? So the first day of my freshman year at Vassar College, I'd been shut out of all intro sociology classes, and I wanted to take sociology. So I asked the secretary, what can I do? She says, go ask the department chair, Jean Pain, see if he can find a seat for you in one of the closed classes. Well, the minute I step into Jean's office, I have the first and only out-of-body experience of my life. I literally feel my soul shooting at high speed through a tunnel to the end of my life. And when I get back into my body, I shoot back in my body, I get this message, remember every aspect of this meeting, he's going to be everything to you one day. And then I forget all about it. And I go about my life as a Vassar student. Now, I found out right after I met him that for most of his life he had been one of the world's most famous Jesuit priests. He had taught at the Vatican, founded the Liberation Theology Movement designed to fight church oppression from within, and eventually the Pope granted him the dispensation of his vows. He left the Jesuit order in the priesthood, and he was recruited by Vassar. So I have to also say, because this figures greatly in our story, I had a completely different background from Jean. I was raised by two devoutly atheist Jewish parents The only religion my parents practiced was religiously hating each other's guts.
You know? Oh, my.
They taught me not to believe in God or the afterlife. I never read the Bible, never went to church or synagogue, never discussed religion with Jean. So now, in the senior year at Vassar, I needed help with the statistical portion of my thesis, and I had heard that, among other things, he had been a famous statistician, having founded the Vatican's first and only social research center. So even though he wasn't my advisor, I asked if he would help me. He gave me his time, and Roberta, within a couple of weeks, we just knew we were crazy for each other. We were inseparable from that point on. We were just twins separated at birth. It was so beautiful.
That's a wonderful story.
It's an incredible love story. Now, in the last year of his life, we started to have a premonition that he was going to leave his body due to an accident. I don't say die anymore. I just say leave his body. So we went to Italy. We're on vacation. We're sitting on the beach. His hand is up over his head as if to block the rays of the sun. The next thing I know, Roberta, a bee swoops down, stings his left hand at the exact location of Christ's stigmata, and I watch my beloved suffocate to death in front of my eyes.
Yeah, that's very sad.
It was so horrendous. And I describe, you know, in my best-selling book, Love Never Dies, I describe my experience. I go back to the hotel room. I'm lying on the bed. I'm shaking. I'm trembling. I'm crying hysterically. Next thing I know, I feel that man's hand stroke the entire length of my spine. And I sit bolt upright. I look over my shoulder because I know what I felt. I didn't see him. But he was with me in that moment, and he's been with me ever since. As you know, he is making ongoing manifestations, often in front of witnesses, to prove to us that we don't die. And therefore, our relationships are not meant to end in death. And so as a result of this, I created a groundbreaking new, what I call transdimensional grief therapy method. Totally diverges from the Western approach, which is greed, let go, move on, do it in 6 months, or else we're going to give you psychiatric labels and drugs. Instead, I show you how to say hello, not goodbye, without a medium, without a channeler, without a psychic. And then there's just one more piece, as you alluded to in the intro, millions of people have unfinished business with those in spirit. And again, Western grief therapy gives us no way of making peace with the deceased. So my new Dialoguing with the Departed technique offers us the first vehicle for not only reconnecting, but also making peace with those in spirit.
I'd like to go back to something you said, because people are scratching their heads. Why did he want a dispensation? Because I'm not sure I ever knew that.
Oh, my goodness. Nobody's ever asked before. Well, you know, Jean, it's a long story. I describe in Love Never Dies his entire upbringing. He was a French aristocrat and the only son in a French aristocratic family. He didn't want to be a Jesuit, but in French families, the firstborn son or the only son goes to the Jesuits. And it was sort of a second skin he wore from the moment he was born. He didn't have a choice. He didn't want to. He did it. Now, of course, we understand sometimes we have a destiny or a fate that we must follow, that's ordained or preordained, no pun intended, and you just do it. But it was something where, as long as he was working and he was able to basically symbolically fight against the church and fight against church oppression and bring about liberation, really, then he could channel his frustration into that revolutionizing of the church. But once he succeeded in getting the divorce bill passed, because the church was trying to block the legalization of divorce in Italy, once he succeeded, it was sort of like all the wind came out of his sails and he couldn't sublimate anymore, and he just really knew that he couldn't keep chastity anymore. He couldn't sublimate his sexual urges anymore in the work. He couldn't keep chastity, and he knew it was time to leave.
We're talking with Jamie Turndorf. Now, Jamie, you were a counselor before this ever started. You were Dr. Love while
I've been a PhD in psych for decades, yeah.
Right. So, basically, you're a serious counselor. It's not that you just suddenly woke up one day and started doing this.
I'm like a mainstream shrink.
Accident. You have a very wonderful way in front of an audience. I'm just astonished with how well you do in making people feel relaxed and telling dirty jokes and all of that. Yes, it's really, so she really is literally Dr. Love, and with a longstanding radio commitment. And it was Jean who thought you should be Dr. Love, right?
Right. He said after he left his body, Jamie, now do you understand why you're Dr. Love? Because all the millions you love and touch, I can love and touch them through you. That's what he said after he left his body.
Isn't that wonderful? So this, I want everyone to understand that we do plan our lives. And it's obvious what I know about this story. It's obvious this was planned by both of them before either of them was ever born. And they're living their life plan now. But in your case, though, unlike many widows, you never really had to say goodbye to him. He was right there with you almost immediately, right?
Well, you know, nobody has to say goodbye. That's the whole point. You know, in part two of Love Never Dies, I talk about let's dispel all the misconceptions which you go into in all your wonderful work, you know. And one of the biggest misconceptions is, oh, you can't be in touch with them anymore, or, well, maybe you can for a little while, but then once they're in heaven, you're not going to reach them, they're not going to be able to reach you. And so people live in this protracted emotional wasteland separated from those they love instead of reconnecting, you know?
Yes. No, I encounter that a lot because I hear from many people who have lost people very close to them, either a spouse or a child. And it's very hard to help them understand that even though you may not see that person there, he or she is more alive than ever. And the relationship you have can be quite wonderful. Yes, they can
and
be closer to us in a way.
And closer because once they're freed from the physical vessel of the body, they're able to be closer to us than when they were in a body.
Yeah, that's such a wonderful point.
Right.
All right. So people are calling you on your radio show. People are coming to you. People have all this grief. And you began after he died to be able to, I would think, identify with them and help them in a more direct way.
Well, it just became so clear to me. It was sort of like, you know, when you have a mission.
Yes.
It's so obvious. He said to me, Jamie, tell our story. Let our love shine like a torch that lights the path for others. So he wants everybody to know we don't die. Our relationships are not meant to end in death. And so as a result, I developed this new spiritual relationship therapy to help people not only reconnect, but also heal unfinished business. So it's really become my mission, you know?
Yes. Probably always was meant to be your mission, but it's exciting to find it.
Well, think about it. Roberta, what you said before is so true because, you know, my first Hayes book is Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, and that presents my conflict resolution method. So look at it. All the pieces were being put in place. Now I bring my conflict resolution method to the world of after-death communication.
Let's talk about your book, Love Never Dies, which is a beautiful book. It's now, as you say, it's a bestseller. It's doing enormously well. And you talk about in the book, you talk about your own relationship, but it feels as you're reading it as if it's all relationships. I mean, it's sometimes you read something that makes you feel you're living it. And I've had that experience when I read your book, which is one reason I guess I feel so close to Jean now, because it really it's a beautiful, beautiful love story. And to watch the tragedy of his death. I mean, he was not young. He was in his 80s, right? How old was he?
Right, but I teased him on the morning of. He said, Jamie, I feel like I felt when I was 30 years old. I have another 40, 50 years left in me. And I used to tease him, Jean, I can't keep up with you. You've got to take a younger lover. You know, I just couldn't do it. He was so energetic and healthy. Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? Well, but it was time. One of the things we know is that we plan our lives with exit points. And so it's very clear that he had hit one and chosen to take it so that you would go on and do this work. It does change, as you so eloquently say, it changes everything in our view of having a loved one go on ahead of us when we realize, A, that they're still alive, and B, that they still love us even more, and we could be even closer than we were before. So it really does. It changes what it's like.
Absolutely, Roberta. And, you know, I started a year ago doing the Love Never Dies retreat, and people come to my home, you know, or they attend virtually. And I, you know, do the whole method, you know, doing my visualization, my meditation for making contact, and then I help them reconnect and dialogue with their loved ones. And they will always say to me, and I mean, this also happens on the Hay House radio show. I have a show there every Tuesday at noon called Love Never Dies. People call from all over the world. Maybe they have unfinished business that's lasted 25 years or more. As soon as we reconnect and we dialogue, all of that stuff just dissipates and heals right in front of my eyes and ears.
I've actually seen this happen because you do it on stage as well.
Yes.
And what I saw was someone who actually was kind of living the experience of, I think it was a parent-child relationship that was a problem. A parent had been a difficult parent. And he ended up breaking into tears, and it relieved him so much to be able to do that. This was not a plant, right, Jamie? This was just someone from the audience.
People say that. They say, "Oh, that must be scripted." And I'm meeting the people for the first time, you know?
Yeah.
Same on the radio or at my retreats. It's so amazing.
So what is it that you do first to help people connect with someone who is now in spirit? Because that's what the Love Never Dies retreats are about, right? Initially, they're really about reconnecting. And how were you able to do that? Because some of these people are in grief. And I'm telling you, it's difficult for people in deep, deep grief. It's such a negative emotion to even be reached by their loved ones. So how are you able to help them?
Right. Because it's, I say that when we're too emotionally upset, it acts like an atmospheric storm. You know how actual storms block the sending and receiving of TV or radio signals? It's the same thing with the deep emotional grief. It's as if we're in a dark tunnel of grief. You know, you're in the tunnel and you're driving and you got a cell call and you don't know it because you're in the tunnel. Then you come out and you say, "Oh, I got a message," right? Same with our dark tunnel of grief. We don't even realize that they're sending us emotional, energetic communications because we're in the tunnel. So in part two of Love Never Dies, I show you how to create a state of receptivity.
How do we get back in touch, and how do we make that relationship wonderful?
Okay, everybody's got to know. We all are born with the innate ability to communicate with spirit. What we're doing is I show you how to tune to what I call the spirit channel in your brain so that you can send and receive energetic communications. And we all know how to do it. We just haven't developed the psychic muscle to do it. So in part three of Love Never Dies, I take you step by step through the process of how you can do this, okay? So the first thing we've got to do is create what I call a state of receptivity. One of the first things Jean said to me was, "Jamie, the noise of the day drowns me out. Anytime you want to hear me, come to the bed and be still and quiet." So we need to create what I call pockets of peace. And I'm not saying that you have to convert your condo into a convent, but you need to just sit in silence, even if nothing, for just 10 minutes, right?
Right.
Just sit in silence, and then I show you how to breathe. Because Jean showed me spirit is born on the breath. So I give you some breathing exercises that will also help spirit just enter you so easily. Then I list out the peaceful practices like yoga, tai chi, qigong, and help you figure out the one that's right for you. And another thing we've got to do, which we were starting to talk about in the previous segment, was you've got to learn how to surrender to your emotions without letting them wash you overboard, which is very easy to do when you're grief-stricken. You can easily get washed overboard, and that blocks out the sending and the receiving of energetic signals. Okay? And then I show you how to use what we call hypnagogic or twilight states. That's the state right before you fall asleep and right as you're awakening. We are more open to spirit, and it's easier to tune to the spirit channel when we're in those states. And, of course, also nature helps to nudge us into the now. And in being in the now is the ultimate spiritual experience because spirits live with us in the now. And then
Could I just interrupt you and ask? Now, you're doing this on retreats, right, with people as well?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. No, go ahead, dear. So you get them into this state. Does everybody then begin to get contact, or what's the process to actually make it happen?
Okay, so what happens next is we open up your five senses. Okay? Because spirit beings are pure energy. They're able to energetically send signals to all of our senses. So the more our sensory receivers are turned on, the easier it is for us to perceive the signs that are being sent our way and the energetic communications that are being sent our way all the time. So I do a lot of work in part three of Love Never Dies and, of course, on the retreats and the Love Never Dies online course in helping you to open up your senses. Now, believe it or not, most people who will come into a retreat or one of my live events and they'll say, "I can't connect. I'm not getting anything." And by the time they're done, within a couple of hours, they are recognizing the signs. And because a lot of people will say, "Oh, I'm not getting signs. I'm jealous of you. I hate you. You're really pissing me off, Jamie." They'll tell me things like this. And then what we'll do is we will just do all these exercises. And suddenly, one thing that's very helpful, I find, is there's a chapter in part three called Recognizing the Signs. And I'll just list out all the ways that spirit sends us signs, from, you know, animals behaving oddly to strange physical sensations to a sensation of a draft, chills, goose flesh, temperature changes, symbolic communications, butterflies, manifesting corns. So I start listing out all of this, and everybody will say to me, oh, that happened to me, and so did this, and so did that, and so did this.
Oh, so just
becoming aware, right?
Yes.
Just becoming aware begins the reconnection.
I think that's such an important point. If you have lost someone, or you think you have, temporarily to what seems to be death, and they're not here anymore, they are trying to get in touch with us.
Oh, my.
And these signs that you're talking about, Jamie, are really subtle. Many people sort of will say, well, that's a coincidence, or I don't think that means anything, which is why they've developed a whole repertoire of more complicated and more obvious things they'll do.
Can I give an example?
Yes.
Can I give an example? Because I think this is a really good example of what we're talking about. You know, we're talking about coins, right? And they'll often drop coins on us that were minted on the anniversary year of their bodily departure. Now, if you pay attention, they will bring in other people as what I call open vessels to confirm you're reading them right. So, for example, one of my patients named Kyla was in my office, and I said, John's dropping a lot of coins on me that were minted on the anniversary year of his bodily departure, because this is the anniversary week of his anniversary into spirit, right?
Yes.
So, she says to me, Jamie, I almost forgot. She said, I was standing in my bedroom when a coin dropped out of thin air and landed in my boot, and I got the message, it was for you. I forgot, and I never took it out of my boot. Let me give it to you now. At that same moment, John is speaking to me, and he says, you'll see, it was minted in 2006, the year I left my body. She hands me the coin. It was minted in 2006.
Okay, now let me explain this business of coins dropping out of thin air. When our loved ones give us coins, feathers, other small items, very often, apparently, they are what are called apports. Apports literally come out of a different dimension. If you listen regularly to Seek Reality, I have on occasion explained how all dimensions are in the same place, just at a higher frequency. So they'll take a penny, probably from this level of reality, take it into their own dimension at a higher vibratory rate, and at the right moment, they'll drop it into ours.
You have seen them pennies from heaven.
Air in thin air and drop to the ground. So she was privileged to actually see an apport arrive. I think that's wonderful. Wow.
But he'll do that to validate, you see, because he does this in front of witnesses. He'll use human and animal open vessels. It's a way of bringing other people into the manifestation. Well, 10 million Frenchmen can't be wrong.
He is such a delightful man. He's so flamboyant. For someone who, and see a picture of him, he is just as dignified as he could be. Such a lovely, graceful man, but he can let's say he could be very playful. We're going to get a little more serious now. We'll talk again about how Jamie can help people who simply desperately miss someone to reestablish a wonderful, even more intense relationship than you had when you were both in bodies. But sometimes relationships aren't that great when someone, perhaps unexpectedly or just after a long life, just leaves us. And we are left with a hole in our hearts that we think we'll never be able to heal. And I have seen Jamie work with people and looked as if it was a miraculous healing. Jamie, talk about that a little bit. If something is really wrong between you and someone who has died, how would Dr. Love fix that or help you fix it?
Well, first of all, this is the area where Love Never Dies is taking after-death communication to a whole nother stratosphere. The CEO of Hay House said, we've never seen anything like what you do. What I do is I show you how to engage in a back-and-forth conversation between you and any being in spirit. Now, there are many, many ways that we can dialogue. We can dialogue with the assistance of human and animal open vessels. We can use earthly props, which are electronic devices. We can also engage in a direct dialogue where we talk and we record what we're saying, not only what we're saying, but also what the spirit presence is saying. We can write down the transcript, not only what we say, but what we hear coming back. And what we do here is we talk back and forth until we arrive at resolution. Now, you can do this to say goodbye to someone who was ripped from you, to obtain guidance, because our loved ones are here to be our guides and support us as we walk down the bumpy road called life. And we can also talk back and forth to resolve any unfinished business. And so what we do is, and I do this, you know, whether it be on, you know, a live event, on the radio, on the online course, it's always the same. We use my visualization and my meditation for making contact because we want you to be in a superconscious state so you're more open to spirit. Then you take another breath in, and then you make a first statement aloud. You speak aloud, and you call that person, that being, by however you called him or her. And then you take another breath in, and you wait to see what comes back. And the way the communication will come back, it could be a picture that's put in your mind, a thought, a physical sensation, a word, a sentence. And believe it or not, as you practice doing this back and forth, you get better and better. So, like, for example, when people come to the retreats, they'll say, I have no ability to do this. And then as they practice right. with me over a few hours, they do it.
Wow.
And the same thing with the online course. I just launched the Love Never Dies online course. Everybody came in and said, I am incapable of communicating with my husband in spirit or my sister or my brother. And after just a couple of hours, they're saying, I don't believe it. He's with me. She's with me. I now have my relationship back. We're dialoguing. It's extraordinary.
Wow, it really is extraordinary. But all right, so you have you've had a terrible kind of relationship with a parent,
yep.
and then that parent dies, or a sibling or someone. What do you do then? How would Dr. Love help
here,
in that case?
I want to give you a little story to illustrate, if I may, rather than be theoretical. I'm going to give you a story.
No, go ahead.
Because I want everybody to feel, to know that do not despair, because in the Western world we think, oh, if somebody left his body and I didn't work it out, I'm SOL, too bad, too late. It's the opposite.
Right.
We often have to wait till they leave their bodies in order to work it out because, as you said, they now have a much higher perspective. They understand where they messed up with us, and they know that their own spiritual development and evolution requires them to face what they've done and work it out with us.
Right.
Now,
that's so true.
And so it's a win-win, right? They need us to confront them, and we need to be able to confront them in order for us to heal. Now, how did I discover this? This story says it all. It was the first Good Friday, and Jean said to me, go to Lainey's house, the bird lady. I want you to go there. She tried to help us save our bird unsuccessfully, and I hadn't seen her for a long time. Didn't know anything about her personal life. I walk into her bird studio, and I see a finch sitting on a perch looking very bad. Looks like he's going to keel over any second. So she says to me, this bird hasn't eaten in a couple of days. It's so small. If it doesn't eat within a few hours, it will be dead. I said, can I help the bird? She says, okay. I go over to the bars. I start energetically communicating with the bird, speaking aloud so she'll hear me, and I say to the bird, go down and start eating. The bird starts to eat, scarfs up seeds like a mini vacuum. He's starting to chirp. He's looking fine. But now I become aware there's a spirit presence around this bird, and it's making the bird sick. His head starts craning up, and he stops eating again. So I say to the bird, look, just go back to eating. It's fine. I'll help Lainey with the spirit. And the first spirit that comes through is her mother. And she says, I'm sorry I was such a weakling and I didn't protect you from him. And Lainey bursts into tears and she says, that's my mother. She always called herself a weakling. And now I become aware of another presence, and it's her father. And he says, I know you're still afraid of me because I sexually molested you, and I am begging you to confront me because you're still stuck in childhood. You're still a victim of my abuse, and I want to help you heal, and I need you to confront me so that I can evolve. So we dialogued back and forth, and she arrived at a resolution with him, and the bird survived.
Wow. Wow. Have you always been somewhat psychic, or is this does this come from your relationship with Jean primarily?
Before Jean left his body, he said to me, you're the most spiritual human being I've ever known. I thought, what are you talking about? I had no idea what he meant because, I mean, I could lay hands on people and heal them. I could do distance healings. I could lay my hands on animals. And you know, I knew I could do that. But what I realized was it's the same thing as energetic communication. It's all energy
yes.
transmission. He understood that. I didn't know what he meant till after he left his body.
Wow. Well, what I saw was someone come up on stage and tell a story, I think it was, about difficulties with a father. And it didn't take more than a few minutes before
I know.
He was in tears.
He was
he was talking freely to this man, and he had been a terrible relationship. So I was impressed, I have to say. And
yeah,
that's what,
it was beautiful. I remember that very, very well. And that's par for the course, literally. That's what happens. I mean, you know.
Well, you know what, Jamie? Here's a little advice. You got to make it look harder, because I thought it had to be a plant.
Well,
it
you know what? But that's the whole point. I don't want everybody to think it's hard. I want everybody to realize that you can heal and be free of all this unfinished business, and it's effortless.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is just so. I'm teasing you, of course. I mean, if indeed it is so easy to break down those barriers, then this is, frankly, earth-shaking in its importance. Jamie was a relationship expert for her whole career. This is what she's done best. But she was working with people who were both sort of still in bodies. Then her wonderful, wonderful husband, Jean Pin, who had been a Jesuit priest and actually famous, he spoke like 97 languages. after he died, she and he developed ways to maintain and strengthen their relationship, even though one of them was no longer in a body. And she shares those ways now. And what a tremendous comfort it is to people who have had a good marriage or who have lost a child to be able to maintain a relationship and even strengthen it. There is no substitute for that. I mean, I send people The Fun of Staying in Touch, which is my book about signs and sort of contact through mediums and electronic communication. We're talking contact with someone who is in your very heart and is more alive than ever. What a beautiful thing that is. So I said to Jamie in the break, I said, you know, there was a big age difference. We should mention what that was. Wasn't it like 20 years? Jamie, tell them what you told me.
I said 37 and a half, and I used to say to him, dude, you got to get a younger wife. I can't keep up with you.
37, yes. So I think we really can safely say that age doesn't matter. If you know someone, you know, a couple who have a big difference in age, my guess is it's not going to be 37 and a half years. What's important is to be simpatico on the same wavelength, and you and he are that still in spades. So in order to make sure people know how they could get your help, of course, Love Never Dies is the book, and I highly recommend it. But what are some of the other things you do to sort of help people? Well, there's your radio show. How would people listen to you live on radio?
Well, you know, the Love Never Dies radio show is on the Hay House Radio Network. I'm on Tuesdays at noon, and it's a live broadcast. And there I help people reconnect and dialogue with their loved ones. And, you know, Roberta, somebody called me a couple of weeks ago and said that when she found out her brother was terminally ill, young, they read Love Never Dies and they agreed together that they would stay in contact. And they came up with some understandings of what he was going to do to come through to her. And that's exactly what happened. And she called me to say this. I was so happy to hear this. You can't believe. So the Hay House Radio Show is one thing. My loveneverdiesretreat.com is a retreat that I offer here at my house and virtually. You can be anywhere in the world, and I will literally bring the book to life for you. It's a four-hour retreat. This summer, I'm taking my retreat on the road, and I'm going to be at Kripalu Yoga and Retreat Center, August 26th through 28th. I'm going to also be at Lilydale, New York, August 7th. And then I'm also doing the Love Never Dies Retreat at Sea, a whole week, you know, Caribbean cruise, January 22nd through 29th, this coming January. And you can find out all about my live events at askdrlove.com, askdrlove.com/live events. They're all on my website. And the most important thing is I just launched the Love Never Dies course, where I have beautiful video lessons where
Jamie?
I talk you through
this. This is incredible.
I know.
It's wonderful, though. I'm so happy that you're doing all these things. And to see the joy that you put into all that you do is the best part of it. I'm sorry, talk about the course. I didn't even know about this one.
You didn't know about the course? So, you know, it's funny because, Roberta, remember when Jean made the most recent, like, fireworks finale of Manifestations? It was really to launch the course. I was walking down the street, and he said to me, it was after I had done my retreat in the winter, and he said to me, "I'm with you." And I look up, and all the commercial lights on this building go off. And I said, "Jean, if that's you, put them back on." And they go back on. I say,
yes.
You turn it off. And so we have this whole interaction together, and I filmed it on my phone.
I put it
on my YouTube channel,
yes.
Okay? So this was what he wanted me to do as sort of a promo video for the Love Never Dies course. So if you go to YouTube, you'll see I have all these manifestation videos, including this one. It says, "Dead husband communicates with wife, proof caught on video." And at the end of it is the link to the Love Never Dies course. And I also, you know, I don't know if you noticed this on the retreat page. There's a live video player of the first retreat that I offered here in August. A year ago, that was the first one. And on that video player, you'll see Jean took over my computer and he posted a photo and I wasn't even touching the computer. But it's all for everybody listening, just so that you'll know your loved ones are here too. All these over-the-top manifestations are for you too, to let you know. Your loved ones are just waiting for you to open the door of your heart and learn how to dialogue with them and resume your relationship.
I'd like you to restate your contact information, Jamie, because if someone didn't have a pencil, grab a pencil, and then you'll be able to. And you also, by the way, can always contact me, and I'll put you in touch with Jamie. Just contact me through my website. But say again what your website is, Jamie.
It's just so easy. You know what? If you forget drlove.com, you'll get me that way. Askdrlove.com. I'm the first relationship advice site on the web, so I'm really easy to find.
And you do a live show where people can call in and get help, and that's on Tuesdays, Hay House Radio?
At noon Eastern, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Love Never Dies show. And, Roberta, it's the most listened to hour on the Hay House Network.
I'm not surprised. Why does this not surprise me?
It's amazing. I mean, I just can't even believe it, you know. It just shows how much our topic and our method is really just touching the hearts of everyone. Everybody wants to reconnect and heal.
I want to say
business.
Too, Jamie, that you and I have talked a number of times on Seek Reality, and every one of those conversations got a great reaction from people. People really, really love your enthusiasm and your energy and your joy. There's no other word for it. I mean, how many widows are full
great.
Of joy this way? I just,
I know.
It lifts my heart.
You have to tell me, shut up, Jamie, let me talk.
Yeah, I know. She's so full of love, full of joy, and full of happiness. This is the way she is all the time. I am so sorry that we're coming to the end of our time together, but we will have Jamie back again. And meanwhile, big hug, dear. I'm so happy that you've been sharing your day with me. Thank you for that privilege. I hope it's been worthwhile. I love it, and I planned for it so carefully. And so if you ever have any questions or comments, who'd you like me to interview next? Don't hesitate to contact me about that. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you fully grasp what that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Now, our guest next week is going to be your host. The most appalling thing about the extraordinary times in which we live is that we're now coming to realize that both of our most venerable institutions are failing us just when we need them most. Recently, I talked about the genuine God, and in a few weeks, I'll be talking about the genuine Jesus. as they're established by nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent communications from those who actually know the truth about God and about Jesus. It turns out that Christianity has had the best access to the truth for the past 2,000 years, but it continues to ignore that truth. It has altogether jumped the shark, unfortunately. And next week, I'm going to share with you the sorry travesty of the dead-end religion that traditional science has become. This is incredible. You are not going to believe it, but it's true. So it's soapbox time again, folks. I hope you won't miss next week. Our guest this week has been Dr. Jamie Turndorf, radio's wonderful Dr. Love. Her husband, Jean Penn, is in spirit now, but he is helping her work out ways to not just heal relationships, but even bring back relationships with people we had thought were dead. They're not dead. They're right here. And Jamie helps people make it possible to be closer, really, than they ever, ever were before. You have the power to stay in touch with those you love, even if they've temporarily gone out of sight. You have the power to make a whole new, wonderful, eternal beginning with someone that maybe you lost and that relationship was damaged in some way. You are in control. You have the power. Jamie can help you. And frankly, her book empowers people to do it on their own. You don't even need to take a course, although a course is nice. But the book is called Love Never Dies. I highly recommend it. Of course, as you know, I can't seem to stop writing. My nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, Flying High in Spirit, and the three fun books, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and very soon, The Fun of Growing Forever. Its release date is the 15th of August, 2016. You can find recent episodes of Seek Reality on the bbmglobalnetwork.com website. But I've been doing this for a while. Episodes going back as far as mid-2013 are being rebroadcast now on Dream Vision 7 Radio, and they're available as free podcasts on webtalkradio.net and on iTunes. If you ever lose track of where I'm broadcasting, or if you just want to read my blog, or you want to contact me for any reason, my website is robertagrimes.com. I read and answer every email. Sometimes, frankly, it takes most of my day, but I love doing it. What a joy you are to me, the fact that you're there and the fact that you let me help you. If you do not hear within 24 hours, as I'm fond of saying, send flowers. For now, dear friends, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. I always tell you to go out and to just enjoy your week, but it's important as you do that to always remember you're living in one reality. There's not a religious reality and a scientific reality, and you're an eternal being living in a now. It's everything is so different from what we always were taught was true. So when I say this to you, believe it. Make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And you are the best beloved child of an infinitely loving God. So I hope that helps your week. It's all true. Meanwhile, until next time, this is Roberta Grimes, and you've been listening to Seek Reality.
This has been Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Tune in each week and discover the nature of reality and God, past, present, and future, in a way that can only be told by Roberta Grimes on the next episode of Seek Reality.